Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc. Joining us now to give an insider's perspective on military chaplaincy, Dr. Dan Gard. He's a regular guest. He's professor of Old Testament and dean of military chaplaincy programs at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He also serves as a chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves. Dr. Gard, welcome back.
Well, Pastor, it is good to be back.
You have read the headline here, Military Chaplains Are Faith Mismatch. What about your experience? Do you find evangelical Christians overrepresented in the chaplaincy of the U.S. military?
I would say this, that it's certainly true at this point in time that there are more chaplains coming from an evangelical Christian background than perhaps the balance of military personnel might indicate. But in fact, there's a number of reasons for that. The article was very good. I did have an opportunity to read it. A couple of the issues that kind of arise, though, is the number of, for example, Roman Catholic chaplains that we have is relatively small. I believe they said it's something like 8% of the chaplain corps, whereas well over 30% of military personnel are Roman Catholic. There's a reason for that, and it's not that we are not, as a military, seeking, for example, Roman Catholic chaplains. It's that there are very few to be had. There's a tremendous shortage of Roman Catholic priests, and as a result, bishops are not as willing to let them go to the military. So that drives down the numbers. They do attempt in every way to recruit chaplains from a wide variety of faith groups. But just as the article points out, there are some denominations that historically have had issues with the military and have been reluctant to endorse chaplains or to encourage clergy to become chaplains. And as a result, those faith groups tend to be underrepresented in the chaplain corps. So there's a number of complexities that are involved. We have a number of, just for example, a handful, really, of rabbis in the Navy. Very few compared to the number of people that serve in the Navy. And because of that, they are spread out in all sorts of places so that they can provide specifically Jewish ministry to Jewish personnel wherever they might be. So the issue is complicated.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about how more liberal seminaries are concerned about the chaplain corps proselytizing and see what Dr. Dan Gard says about that. Stay tuned. Pop spirituality teaches you to look inside yourself. True spirituality teaches you to look outside yourself to the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. You can purchase Lutheran Spirituality by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Lutheran Spirituality.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Continue our conversation with Dr. Dan Gard on the military chaplaincy and evangelical Christianity. He's professor of Old Testament and dean of military chaplaincy programs at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He serves in the U.S. Navy as U.S. Navy Reserves as a chaplain as well. Dr. Gard, some of more liberal seminaries, in particular at Eden here in the St. Louis area, they are concerned and mounting an effort to fight back this disparity in the U.S. Military chaplaincy. They feel like the problem is that military chaplains are in there proselytizing. What's your reaction?
My response to that is that every chaplain, regardless of where that chaplain comes from, whatever faith group that chaplain represents, the chaplain is should be expected to be faithful to the tenets of his faith. What that means is that an evangelical chaplain, I'm not going to talk about the evangelicals, let me talk about our Lutheran chaplains. Their call as missionaries to the military is to bring word and sacrament ministry to military personnel and their families. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Now, there's other duties that a chaplain performs that are not directly related to any particular faith group. For example, advising the command on moral and ethical issues, work such as almost bordering on being a social worker sometimes, where a young sailor or airman or soldier or their spouse might be in some sort of trouble, to assist them in working through the system to rectify whatever problems they're facing. Those kinds of functions can be performed by any chaplain. The specific religious ministry functions, though, can only be performed by a chaplain according to the dictates of that chaplain's faith. For a Lutheran chaplain, I suppose here I would classify, although I am kind of uncomfortable doing this, I would classify myself with the evangelicals in that. Those who are without a faith commitment, my call as a pastor is to proclaim Jesus Christ to them. And evangelicals will do that as well. So I don't have a real problem with this. I would say, though, if they are going out and seeking to proselytize, by that I would mean finding somebody who is already committed to a different faith and attempting then, by power of their chaplaincy or the uniform that they wear, to force some sort of conversion of that person from his or her faith to the chaplain's. That is not one of the functions of a chaplain.
Does part of the misunderstanding of the public on this stem from just kind of ignorance as to how the chaplain corps is filled? My understanding is that you can't just show up and say, hi, I'd like to join the Navy and be a chaplain. There's a process. And then, of course, on the other end of it, the Navy has to decide what kind of chaplains it needs, depending upon the makeup of its service.
Precisely. But the services, especially the Navy, for example, does not predetermine we need to have X number of Lutherans, X number of evangelicals, X number of Roman Catholics, or whatever. They do accept those who meet the qualifications and are the best qualified. Now, the qualifications to become a chaplain in the military have changed somewhat, but they are still rather high. One who desires to become a chaplain must first have a Master of Divinity or its equivalent. That is defined, I believe now, as 72 or 76 hours of graduate theological education. They must also then have possessed already a bachelor's degree, obviously. And in addition, they must meet all commissioning requirements of the military. In other words, physical, medical, security checks, all that kind of of background information, just as any other officer, then another requirement is placed upon them in that they must receive what's called ecclesiastical endorsement from their church body. So, for example, in my own case, I met those other requirements, but I also have received and have had to maintain with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod over the last almost 23 years my ecclesiastical endorsement from the Ministry of the Armed Forces Board of Mission Services. Without that piece of paper, I would cease to be a chaplain in the military. So those are the kinds of requirements that are necessary.
And really, my understanding is that the military doesn't, as you said before, doesn't look at particular denomination, but they do look at the general spiritual needs of the armed services. They speak in terms of liturgical or baby baptizing, those kinds of things.
Right, especially not so much in recruiting of chaplains, but rather in the assignment of chaplains once they are chaplains. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, one of our large Marine Corps installations, which listeners aren't aware, all chaplains that serve at the Marine Corps are actually Navy chaplains. We just switch uniforms back and forth. Well, also with the Coast Guard, so we're multi-service by nature. But the commanding general of that Marine Corps base, and this was probably 20 years ago, called the chief of chaplains and said, I've got a problem at my base. You did not give me a single chaplain that will baptize babies. And I have Marines and their families that have had children, and they want their children baptized, and none of your chaplains can do it. What had happened was the assignments of chaplains had not been, at that point, carefully screened. And as a result, the base had a number of chaplains, but none of them would baptize an infant. They do take that ever since into very careful consideration to what's called detail or to assign individual chaplains to areas or to commands, particularly where there's a large cluster of chaplains, to ensure that the different faith groups have some sort of representation there. And you're right, they do look at us sometimes, according to this uncertain term, liturgical Protestants or non-liturgical Protestants, where those who will baptize infants are typically referred to as liturgical Protestants. Those who do not are considered non-liturgical Protestants. In smaller units where we do have chaplains assigned, for example, a Marine Corps battalion, there will be one chaplain assigned to the Marine Corps battalion, and that chaplain might be of any faith group. But the chaplain of that battalion has specific requirements, specific duty to perform. Without violating their own faith, they need to ensure that every member of that battalion has his or her faith group or his or her faith needs met. So if I, as a Lutheran chaplain, were a battalion chaplain, and I have been, and a Roman Catholic individual requests to see a Roman Catholic priest for whatever religious ministry he or she felt they needed, my job as their chaplain is to connect them to a Roman Catholic chaplain so that they can meet those needs. And the Roman Catholic chaplain would do the same thing with the Lutheran Marine or sailor, connect them with me that I might provide the specific religious ministry that that sailor or Marine might need.
Another story in this connection is that Liberty University, strongly associated with the Reverend Jerry Falwell, at least according to the story, one out of every five Air Force chaplain candidates studying at an evangelical seminary is enrolled at Liberty. Also another concern expressed there is that Liberty has lowered its academic requirements for the degrees that it offers to its chaplains. What are your thoughts there?
My thought on that, first, I'll have to assume that the reporter has the statistics correct. I've never seen those before. But certainly the use of non-residential education has been a phenomenon of the last, particularly like 10 years, I believe. One of the things that has not yet been evaluated fully, because so much of it is so new for so many institutions, is exactly the quality of that education. As I read that article, it was interesting, a couple observations that were made. One is that there seems to be some concern among Air Force chaplain leaders, according to one Air Force chaplain, about online degrees. I've heard that concern, and I do share that concern. that some of these, some online degrees, in fact, at least in my personal opinion, all online degrees are going to be inherently deficient in certain aspects of pastoral formation. The traditional residential pastoral formation is a critical component to not just passing information to a seminarian who is later to be a pastor, but it is also the formation of the person for the office by living in community, by studying in community, by talking at lunch. You yourself are a seminary graduate, and you can probably reflect back upon your own seminary experiences and how that shaped you into the pastor that ultimately God would call into his church. When we have, both in the civilian world and now we're seeing it in the military, online degrees rather than residential training, you have a very different kind of clergy person who is not trained in that community, who doesn't have that connection, that self-identity as one who is fully and completely a theologian and a pastor. And as a result of that, for better or for worse, and people will debate the better or for worse part, you will have, simply put, a very different kind of pastor, a very different kind of chaplain. And I think we may be seeing some analysis of that going on within the military, where they have received chaplains from a number of different institutions and a number of different faith groups who have received their theological education on a computer rather than face-to-face, flesh-on-flesh, with other people who share their vocational dream, their vocational goal as God shapes them into pastors.
Well, when we come back a few more minutes with Dr. Dan Gard, I got a question about Don't Ask, Don't Tell and how it will impact the U.S. military chaplaincy. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Working to limit abortion at the state level.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Research indicates strongly that pro-life state laws are reducing abortions. In Mississippi, initiatives requiring consent of both parents as well as personal counseling reduced abortions by over 50%. But more can be done. Currently, most states do not restrict coverage of abortion in insurance plans, even for public employees whose insurance is fully state-funded. Also, counseling on fetal pain and the emotional consequences of abortion could be required. Even with abortion as the law of the land, pro-lifers at the state level can do much to save unborn lives.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
From Father Sky, where we get the masculine energy, from Mother Earth, where we get the feminine energy, O Creator, may the two energies come together and are centered, for each of us has a piece of the Creator.
Neither side, whether political left or political right, should claim Jesus as he's our mascot. And I think that's what both sides are doing.
They truly understand the theology of the cross, and they understand that suffering is part and parcel with our walk as Christians.
So Luther is offering us a conservative reformation to not throw out things that the Roman Church does just because they do it. That's an overreaction.
In about 5 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got 4 sound bites to play for you. All you have to do is listen and then vote. 1-877-623-6943. Send your vote via email. We get it here in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org or as a tweet @issuesetc or leave your vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. 5 minutes, Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. We're talking about the military chaplaincy with Dr. Dan Gard, a chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves. Dr. Gard, what do you think the impact will be, if any, of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue on the military chaplaincy?
That's a very difficult question. I think we're still working through it. In fact, later this month, I'll have the opportunity as one of the senior chaplains in the Navy Chaplain Corps to meet with all the 06 senior chaplains along with our admirals from Washington, D.C., and we'll be meeting in South Carolina for several days, and this is going to be one of the topics, I'm almost sure, as to what we can expect, how we need to respond as chaplains to this. I think different chaplains are simply going to react different ways. There are some chaplains who this is just going to be unacceptable, and they're not going to be able to work in the military. There are others who, frankly, will have no problem at all with it. Chaplain Corps are very diverse in that way. For myself, as a Lutheran pastor who wears a uniform, I look at it this way, to be honest with you, and that is that God called me as a pastor. My job, regardless of whether I'm in uniform or out of uniform, is to proclaim the gospel to any human being that will listen to me. I'll go to hell itself to proclaim Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And I will do that whether a person is gay or straight. I will call all who have not been baptized to the water of holy baptism, whether they are gay or straight, that this is God's action. This is His washing. This is His regeneration. When it comes to the Eucharist, I will commune those with whom I am in fellowship, but among those with whom I am in fellowship, if I know an adulterous heterosexual presents him or herself to the altar without repentance, I'm not going to commune with that person until they come to repentance. A homosexual who is practicing that particular sin, I will not commune until they come to repentance. And whether, by definition, any homosexual activity is adulterous. So whether that person is heterosexual or homosexual, I will not commune them. When they repent, though, when they come to repentance for their sin, you better believe I will give them everything God has to offer. In fact, it is for us broken sinners, no matter what our sin is, that supper is for. So for me, as a chaplain, it really doesn't, as a Lutheran chaplain, it's not changing my ministry. That makes sense to you?
Makes perfect sense. Dr. Dan Gard is professor of Old Testament and dean of military chaplaincy programs at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is also a chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves. Dan, thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your program once more. God's blessings to all of you. Are you going to be at Fort Wayne for the symposia next week? I'll ask you on air.
Unfortunately, I am not going to be there.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. I was looking forward to seeing you.
Well, one of these days, one of these years, we might get back up there. It's been a long tradition for us.
That would be fantastic. Meanwhile, God be with you.